Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Ballenstein for Metsä scores! Zach Metsä with his first in the NHL, and it's a beauty! 4-0 Buffalo!
There's Dan Dunleavy on the call. Zach Metz's goal, early third period at 6:13, his first career NHL goal, puts Buffalo up 4-0. And boy, did they need it, as Vancouver scored three straight late in the game to make it a 4-3 game. Josh Stone adds an empty netter. 5-3 Buffalo. Our goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. So we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center, live at the press box. Brian Colziel, Pat Mellicaro, Paul Hamilton is awaiting to go into the Sabres dressing room. We'll get some player reaction there. We appreciate your patience through the extra commercial breaks there at the end of the game. Pat, who knew when Metsä scored? We thought maybe that was just kind of the end of the night party here with a 4-0 lead, how big that goal would be.
Yeah, and it was a power play chance on a double minor for high sticking that really ignited the Canucks rally, although the first period, they got a lot of shots on goal, especially on the power play. So I guess when they got that chance in the third period, what ended up being the third of four power plays, maybe not a surprise that they eventually capitalized on it, but that really got things rolling for them. And, you look back at this game, do you feel like the Sabres were in trouble, though? Even though they gave up three straight goals and two in less than 40 seconds, they were calm.
Yeah.
Lindy Ruff calls the timeout. Vancouver wins the faceoff, and after that, they were fine.
First star in the room, up first, here he is with Paul.
Alex, in pregame, we talked about that. It seemed like you're firing on good cylinders, and it seemed like it was going well for you.
Yeah, no, obviously we let off the gas a little bit and let them get back in the game.
The feed from Alex Tuck, so we hopefully will regain communication with Paul here down in the room shortly. Tuck, the first star in this game, he had his 13th of the season to make it 3-0. He also set up Ryan McLeod really nicely on a 2-on-1 to make it 2-0. That was a shorthanded attempt. All right, let's go back down to the room. Here's Tuck.
Of experience, I think it helps. It helps the group, helps individuals, and just knowing the situation and being comfortable in that situation, especially going down the stretch.
On the kill, it seems like you and Clyde are always thinking offense the other way. How much fun is it to actually convert on those chances every now and then?
Oh, yeah, it was nice. I think we've had a couple chances, a couple close calls, and it was nice to capitalize on one there. And we got a lucky bounce in the blue line, and I knew Clyde was joining me. So, yeah, a lot of fun.
It seemed like there was a lot of desperation in that first penalty kill. You guys got in a schmozzle around the net, and everybody was involved, and you kept the puck out. But it seemed like there was a lot of desperation in that kill.
Yeah, I think not only in the kill, but I thought during the entire course of the game, we had a lot of big blocks, and I thought Oopie played really well. And like I said, we let him back into the game, but no panic on our end. I think we still were bearing down and just trying to get pucks out and getting the win.
Was that Lindy's message when he called timeout? It's just, hey, you know, let's not panic. Let's get back to our game.
Yeah, we've been in this situation before. We're going to be in a ton more times, and just got to be comfortable with it, got to be confident with it. And we went out there and did just that, and Donor sealed the game for us.
What did you think of the atmosphere tonight? I mean, you could feel it building the last couple games here. The fans are amped, and I mean, you could tell right away. Uka Pekka made a couple saves, and they were into it. Just what did you guys feel like?
Yeah, I mean, they were into it the whole game. Saves, goals, blocks, hits. I mean, the list goes on. Crowd was with us from the drop of the puck. Gives us a lot of energy. It's a lot of fun. We knew once we started winning they were going to be right behind us and ready to go to war with us. And it's just a really good feeling. It's just a lot of fun. This atmosphere is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. And we're making it a hard place to play, and they're helping us with that.
What's that chemistry like for you and McLeod shorthanded? Because you guys just seem to know where each other's going to be at all times.
Yeah, I mean, we've killed a lot together over the last 2 years now. always looking for that. I mean, especially when you face a power play, a lot of times there's only one defenseman out there, so you got guys that are thinking about offense, and so you're maybe able to jump them, and if you can get a little bit of a two-on-one or even sometimes a breakaway and catch them cheating, we can capitalize on it. We know we got the skill to do so, but we don't try to sacrifice defense when we do that.
Lucan didn't seem like he real.
What was it like to see Zach Metz get his first goal?
Oh, Matt's awesome. I mean, obviously, what was he, 27 when he had his first NHL game? And, I mean, the guy's he's an awesome person. There's a reason why he was captain down there in Roch and coming up. And he is, right? Not mistaken on that? Okay, just making sure. Yeah, he's a great leader. He comes up here and he does his job really well. You know, it's not an easy situation, and he's been playing some really big minutes for us, and it's been great to see. And I mean, you saw it on the bench. We were all so pumped for him. He's just an awesome guy. Huge biceps too, by the way, if anyone asks.
It seemed with Lucan, and when he was making those big saves, it looked like he was really firing up the bench too. It seemed like you guys are really getting a lot off of those when he was making those big saves.
Oh yeah, definitely. He was feeling it tonight. He was reading the play really well, made a couple big saves, and helps. I mean, it's when he's our best player, we're gonna win a lot of games.
Alex, your team's at the halfway point of the season now. How do you evaluate, sum up this team's progress over the course of the season up to this point?
It's been pretty good. Not good enough, though. I like our last 12 or so games. We're just going to keep feeding on that. I've said it before, we're going to take this day by day. Now we're worried about the Rangers. We're worried about practice tomorrow and going to New York and playing a team that's playing pretty well right now. So we have to be on our A game. Good, not good enough. We're going to continue to get better every day.
Alex Tuck on the pre or post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Alex Tuck, again, his 13th of the year to make it 3-0. He set up McLeod for the Buffalo's second goal of the night that made it 2-0 shorthanded. Let's go back down to the room and more with Paul Hamilton.
What does the team gain from facing this kind of adversity in this kind of game?
I don't know, maybe some confidence, you know, but I don't know. I think we're comfortable in situations like that. We've had a lot of games in the last while where, you know, we're up a goal or two and, you know, we are able to come through and get the win. So obviously you're not happy with letting them back in, but, you know, I don't think necessarily we were uncomfortable at any point in time.
Did Alex Tuck give you a yell over there, or did you see him over there when you made the pass?
I seen him going down the backside, yeah.
Backhand pass like that, though, doesn't happen very often. How are you able to get that kind of sizzle on a pass like that?
I don't know. Happened pretty fast. I just saw a glimpse of him going to the backside and tried to get it over there. So, yeah.
How much do you guys draw off of when Lukanen's on his game like that and making the big saves? Does that just make the bench rise a little bit and gives you guys a little jump?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it gives us a lot of confidence. Our goalie's been playing so well for us lately, making big saves, timely saves. And, you know, they had a couple, or that one power play at the start of the game there where they had, I don't know, 6 or 7 chances, it seemed like, in tight, and we managed to keep it out of our net. So, you know, it's a different game, possibly, if one of those go in.
How happy was the team for Zach to get his first goal? I mean, it ends up being a critical goal. But, I mean, it looked like it was an outpouring of, you know, emotion or something.
Yeah, I think he's you know, a really solid guy. He's come up and done a great job just being steady and simple and playing hard, which is, you know, I feel like how everyone gets traction and starts to play well. So, you know, we see it all in practice every day. He's a really good player. He can shoot the puck and make plays. So, yeah, we're super happy for him.
But how was this team prepared to manage that situation in the third period where the Canucks attempted a comeback?
I mean, I feel like we've been in that situation a lot of late, you know, leading, going into the third period, and it's something you got to get, I don't know, good at or comfortable with down the stretch if you want to, you know, continue to win games and push for a playoff spot. So, like I said, you know, you never want to let a team get some traction and bang some in the net, but it happens, and, you know, did a good job of recovering and finishing them off.
Bo Byram in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Bo Byram there. He gets the second star of this game. 2 assists one setting up Thompson, one setting up Tuck. We go back to the room here. Zach Metz alive.
Zach, when you came in, you got the puck. When you see that thing go in under the crossbar, what were your thoughts?
I don't know, maybe a little surprised. Not necessarily that I went in, but in that moment that I just scored. Yeah, crazy feeling. It's something you dream about since you're a little kid.
Have you had a chance to let it sink in? I mean, your journey, and here you are, and you get your first NHL goal.
I don't know if the goal is set in for a little bit, maybe tonight, later, but yeah, something I've always thought about growing up and always wanted to accomplish.
You're reading that play the whole way, like, because Greenway and Beck were just kind of peppering it at the net. You're just watching them the whole way.
Yeah, I had space coming down through the slot. I think it was Kane, their winger who was on me, kind of got high. I could get inside of him, and puck kind of just bounced me.
Seemed like Noah Ostlund was happier than you were. He was looking right at you, and he was ecstatic.
Yeah, it's, you know, we had last year together, had some time together here the last couple of years. So good friend, and obviously it's pretty special that he reacted that way.
It's been a few months since you debuted in Montreal. How do you feel your game has grown and evolved since then at this level?
I think I've just gotten more confidence in myself and in kind of my game here. Not feeling like I have to change too much. Obviously, just trying to get better and keep improving for the guys around me.
What did you guys do once it got close? I mean, all of a sudden it was 4-0. Next thing you know, it's 4-3. What did you guys do to settle it down?
You stick to the process. You know, it got us to a 4-goal lead and couple bad bounces, a couple plays that happen. They make plays. It is what it is. It's hockey, but just stick to our game and kind of just grind it out.
How much confidence were you getting from the saves Luukkonen was making? It seemed like he was making a lot of big saves in that game.
Oh, he was awesome. Made some crazy saves, kept us in it. Even before the goal started going in, like, it could have been a lot closer throughout the game. He was a big part of the win tonight.
How does that feel that it's a game-winning goal? I know it comes about in a bit of a tough circumstance, but it ends up being a game winner anyways.
Yeah, maybe I didn't want it to be a game winning goal in the moment, but it's funny it turned out that way.
Think you had a lot of family watching?
Oh yeah, yeah. I got a quick moment to look at my phone and there's already too many texts, so we'll deal with that later.
The reaction you got from your teammates, does it just kind of show you how much they value kind of the work you've been putting in and you know, what you've brought to this group?
Yeah, it's a good group. It's a very, very special group. They've been good to me since the beginning, and it's a lot of fun playing with them, battling with them in practice, and just being around them. So for them to react that way was really special to me, something I won't forget.
Thank you, Zach. Zach Metz on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, congratulations to Zach Metz. Yes, his first NHL goal, and it turns out to be a big one for him, third-star honors. Yeah, Pat, at the time, as we were saying here before we went down to the room, who knew at that point? He scores 4-0. You feel like, hey, what a nice moment to kind of cap the night for Buffalo here. They've been, you know, dominating on the scoreboard, 4-0, and all of a sudden, less than 10 minutes later, it's 4-3, and there's bodies all over the place.
Yeah, and I do like, you know, we're talking about it was, there was no panic.
Yeah.
Even though Vancouver gets the three goals and two of them in less than a minute, Lindy Ruff calls a timeout, and the Canucks immediately kind of press the play off the faceoff. But the Sabres weathered the storm, and that's something maybe in the past. We sat here for many years saying, why do things continue to snowball when they're bad? They go from bad to worse to the worst. And this team, we saw glimpses of it with the majority of the same players previous times, but now they've really found a way to not let moments build into bigger ones for other teams. And let's be honest, this is the team you had to beat.
Yes.
Because where Vancouver's in the standings. I know the Sabres were at this point at one point as well, and teams were looking at the Sabres as a team you can't lose to. But you come off the loss on Saturday. This is a game you want to win, and now you can feel a little bit, okay, you're going to New York on Thursday, and now you can build another streak if you can go in there and pick up two more points.
The Sabres have been excellent on home ice this year. They're now 13-5-2, Pat. Super impressive. I mean, you and I had many conversations after games throughout this playoff drought that we had been sitting here just, you know, brainstorming, why can't this team be good on home ice in any way? And in fact, I think it's fair to say they've been very poor at home. But this year they've turned that around. That was one thing I remember from Lindy Ruff when he even took over last season, when, you know, kind of like his goals for turning this franchise around. One of the things was, he's like, we have to reestablish being at home. We have to be better. And this season now, to be at 13-5-2, that's they're in a nice spot. All right, Lindy Ruff now talking after the 5-3 win.
You had your game back to get going here.
Yeah, you know, I liked our first period. Made some good plays. Obviously, had to kill a couple of penalties, and we've been pretty good at it. Get those early goals was, you know, something you want to see.
You got the early desperation on that penalty kill when you were all around the crease and you kept the puck out. It seemed like you were pretty good on the battles on the wall, too, for the period, weren't you?
Yeah, overall, you know, there was good stuff. There was, you know, I thought some lateral plays on entries that didn't like, you know, when we turned the pucks over. But for the most part, you know, coming off a long road trip and getting a practice in, I thought we played pretty well.
You talk so much about being comfortable when things are uncomfortable. You call that timeout, and I'm sure that's the response you wanted from your guys at that point.
Yeah, you know, we just talked about, all I said is we've been in this position a lot of times already, and we're going to be in it a lot more times. Just play our game, you know. System is locked in, be ready for it. We know they're going to be, we're going to have some strong wall battles. I thought the execution after that was pretty good, and they were putting some heat on.
Everyone seemed excited for Zach Metz's first goal. Just how happy are you that he got that, and it ends up being a critical goal, too?
No, I'm one of the excited guys, too. I mean, anytime a guy gets his first goal, that's, you could see his excitement. You play the game, you want to get on the board at some point. And it turns out to be a huge goal. Pretty good play where he jumped through, and I think he just got inside Kane for the goal, and great shot.
He was really noticeable defensively tonight, too. I mean, just how do you see his game evolving here and growing each time out?
Yeah, defending well. You know, I think his numbers speak for themselves. You know, I was happy for that group. Like, the fourth line had Malenstein had a great opportunity in the second period, hit the knob of the stick. Then for those guys to get the game-winning goal, it's really been all about the team. And I think there's another example that everybody's been chipping in to help win hockey games.
Lindy, your team's now past the halfway point of the season. How do you kind of evaluate, sum up the team's progress over the course of first 41 games?
Well, yeah, there's been a ton of injuries. I mean, when we walk in the dressing room after the game, there's still six or seven guys standing there that, you know, so the, you know, we've had to kind of meander our way through starting the year with, you know, we're looking at, you know, Kulik being our number one centerman, Norris, and both those guys being out for a long period of time. And I think we've done a good job of kind of balancing that out and having guys fill in and play the game and help us win hockey games. Got ourselves on a good run. I thought the stretch were, you know, we lost a few in overtime. We played pretty well. We didn't capitalize on, but just one game mentality. We fought ourselves into a good place at, you know, I think 48 points now in 41 games. Usually 96 points. If you do that over the next 41, we'll get you into playoffs.
What did you make of the atmosphere in the building tonight? I mean, right from the get-go, and Luka Pekka made some saves.
The atmosphere was great. You know, I think even a couple of those late saves that he made, I thought the crowd fully behind him. The energy was great in the building. And I think that's something these guys need to experience. I mean, I think the building was behind us, and it's a lift when you're sitting on the bench.
What do you see that made you switch the D pairs with Byron, with Sammy, and Owen with Rasmus?
You know, a few too many goals were going in on with Sammy and Dahl. So we just, you know, I think those pieces are interchangeable. So, you know, you look at that core there with the 5-6, the way they're playing. I think those top four, anybody can play with anybody. You know, when you look at, sometimes it's penalty killing, sometimes it's power play, and you come off those, you've got those pairs mixed up. So they're pretty comfortable being with whoever.
leaning on those top four quite a bit. How do you feel like Bo Byram in particular has responded to, you know, the increased ice time?
He's got a great tank. Can skate forever. If you asked him, you know, if he plays 24 minutes, he would tell you, I think I can play 28. If you asked him about 28, he would probably say, I can play 30. They like playing more, you know, because sometimes they're not, you know, heavily involved. I mean, our DR, for the most part, if you have a lot of ozone time, but he relishes the opportunity for that extra ice time. He's done a good job with it. Thanks.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. As we bring it back up here live to the press box, Sabres win 5-3 over the Canucks. All of our locker room reports are brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, before we take a break, let's get in a few final stats here. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Final shot totals end up 35-20 in favor of the Canucks. The shot attempts were heavily one-sided, 77-45 in favor of Vancouver. So quite a bit of action in the Buffalo zone. And, you know, Lukanen, I thought, at times looked very, very good, despite even late a lot of traffic in front of him. Power plays. Buffalo only had one try the whole game, 0 of 1. The Canucks were 1 of 3. However, Buffalo did get a shorthanded goal, so the special teams' goals were 1-1 in the game. Lukanen gets the win, 32 saves. Demko, the loss, 4 goals against, 15 saves. Buffalo's 20th shot went into the empty net. And now it's time for our three stars of the game, brought to you by Blue Star Home Services, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home comforts game plan. Get started at bluestarhs.com. Metsa, with his first ever NHL goal, is star number 3. Byram, with 2 assists, star number 2. And Alex Tuck, goal and an assist, he is star number 1. The attendance tonight at KeyBank Center, 17,036. And I would agree with Lindy. I thought the energy in the building was good tonight. Even when Buffalo was having their uh-oh moment down the stretch there at the end, it was 4-3, and then the crowd really got behind the Sabres. Instead of getting on them and booing them, like we've definitely heard it many times throughout this drought, I thought the crowd tonight sensed, hey, we can help here. Let's get this finished, and kind of gave them that energy, and then Buffalo played those final minute and a half very good, and then Doan obviously put it in the empty net to seal it. So I would agree with what the players and Lindy Ruff had to say about the crowd. I thought if you're driving home from KeyBank Center tonight, I'll call you a smart crowd tonight. You sensed when to be involved at the right time for sure. All right. At this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. Thank you for listening. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or the Odyssey app. For all of you on our flagship, Sports Radio 550 here in Buffalo, more postgame coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's final take. We'll get you our save of the game, scores from around the league. Buffalo gets 2 more points in the standings, so we'll update you on the Eastern Conference standings. And we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send me your tweets on Twitter at BrianWGR. Final score, Buffalo 5, Vancouver 3. We'll have more postgame coming up in a moment as we step aside from KeyBank Center. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Another fake, and he'll pass it off to his left before it's sent right back to him. Far circle shot is blocked. Another one. Lukanen with the glove save, and he'll hear it from the crowd now.
There's Dan Dunleavy. Ukko-Pekka Lukanen faced 35 shots, made 32 saves. That one, our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. As we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center, 17,036. Saw the Sabres build a 4-0 lead. It got cut to 4-3. Interesting late, but the Sabres pulled it out. Josh Jones, empty netter with 1:24 to go, gives Buffalo a 5-3 win. They get back into the win column, and they'll look to make it 2 in a row in New York against the Rangers on Thursday night at 7. And then Buffalo comes back for 5 straight in 8 days at home. Anaheim, Florida, Philadelphia, Montreal, and Minnesota. So a lot at home here in the stretch. So road Thursday in New York, and then, again, 5 in a row at home. Okay, we'll read some tweets. Send them in at BrianWGR. We'll also get Pat's scoreboard, which means we'll also update you on the standings and where Buffalo sits after they picked up their 48th point tonight. Let's go back down to Paul Hamilton now, who's in the media room. Paul, things were going so well. Zach Metza got his first NHL goal. It's kind of seemed like a cherry on top moment there for the night with it 4-0. And then all of a sudden, maybe some flashbacks of seasons past in terms of how they didn't handle the third. But they got it done, which in the end, I guess, is the most important thing.
Yeah, they gave up 3 goals in less than 5 minutes. And it started with a 4-minute power play or high-sticking penalty to Tage Thompson. And it gave the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, their power play got 12 of their 35 shots, 7 of them on the first power play. So, you know, they were peppering the Sabres when they were on the power play with shots. And, you know, you take those because Buffalo did not have a power play shot. So you take those 12 away, and then the shots are 23-20, and they don't look as bad. But that's what got it started. And DeBrusk is a guy that scores goals on the power play and a puck, a fortunate bounce, shall we say. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden there's a bouncing puck. It goes right to him in front of the net. He knows what to do with it on the power play. And next thing you know, it's 4-1. Now you still have to kill off. There were still 9 seconds left on the first Thompson penalty, so now they had 2 more minutes to kill off, which they did. But all of a sudden, Peterson turns and shoots in from the slot, and he scores. And next thing, all right, 4-2. Well, didn't even take 40 seconds. I think it was 39, and it's in the net again. Byram went down a little too soon. Ogren went right around him. He picked the far corner, and next thing you know, it's 4-3 after the Sabres had gotten a great performance out of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. He had made some great saves along the way to stake them to that 4-0 lead. And not only did he lose his shutout, but now it's uh-oh. But uh-oh doesn't mean the same thing to this team anymore. And Lindy Ruff called timeout, which he should have. I know that probably made you very happy.
Yes.
Because you hate it when they don't use their timeouts in these situations, and you're right. And, you know, he called timeout and basically calmed it down. Just say, you guys know what to do here. You've had a lot of games going back to the Seattle game where you've been protecting one goal lead. You know how to do it. You know you have to go to battle here. You know you have to win some battles. And, you know, they do that and they get the empty net goal to kind of get some breathing room and win the hockey game.
Paul, down the stretch, too. I said this earlier in postgame, but I wanted to get your thought on it. Lindy Ruff mentioned the crowd. A couple players mentioned the crowd in terms of them giving them a lift in energy. When the Sabres went from 4-0 to 4-3, I feel like over the course of the drought era here, that would have been a moment in the arena where we would have heard boos or the crowd getting on them. Instead, I heard almost nothing other than the chance to support them and get them going. And I don't want to overstate that the crowd was the reason they won, but it just seemed like the will of the crowd there did give the Sabres maybe a little energy boost, and they figured it out. So, again, I'm not saying that's the reason, but I think it's a piece, and maybe just the belief that the crowd had kind of is what maybe the team belief is in now, that uh-oh doesn't mean we're losing. Uh-oh, okay, let's refocus, reset, we got this kind of mentality. And I feel like the crowd almost kind of symbolized maybe what this team is thinking right now.
Yeah, and it does help the players. It helps them get momentum. They draw off of it. And, you know, when their first little mistake happens and the fans are all over you, it annoyed them. And it has for 3 or 4 years now. That it's like, and there are some people that say, you know, you're not helping your team by booing them. You should stay behind them if you ever want them to break out, you know, their slump. But people pay their money to come, and, you know, they don't want to hear it. And what's hard for these players is I don't think the fans are necessarily booing them. I think they're booing the situation. They're booing that they had to sit here for 14 years and watch this. And it's, for the most part, been bad hockey. And so I think, you know, they maybe shouldn't take it as personally as maybe they do, because when the booing starts, I think a lot of it is they're booing what they've seen for the last 14 years, and they're tired of it. And but, you know, now that you've won, you know, 11 out of 12 games and gotten yourself back into the playoff race – I think the fans are realizing that maybe this is different. They're still going to be nervous about it. There's still half a season to play. A lot of things can happen here, both positive or negative. And, they've had it ripped out of their hands before. So, they're skeptical, and I understand that. I get it. They've been through a lot here. None of these players have been here for this whole time. Trying to think if even anybody in the front office has been, if maybe a couple of scouts, but maybe Mark Jakubowski. But
luckily you and I have seen the whole thing, so we have good perspective.
Yeah, we've seen the whole thing. So you're the bad luck charm. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's been a struggle, for them, and is this for real? Well, I think they passed the test tonight. We talked since the loss. We talked after the loss about the loss is what it is. You're going to lose hockey games from time to time, You're not going to win 50 in a row. So you lost a hockey game you didn't play well in. Okay, put it away. That's fine. You just won 10 in a row. Relax. What I think the big part of it was is how do you react tonight, on Tuesday night, at home? How do you react to the loss? Do you just say, okay, it happened, let's get back to playing the way we know how to play? And that's, for the most part, I think what they did.
Yep.
And at the end, they gave up goals in the third period, which they haven't done in a while. But they figured it out and once again had to protect a one-goal lead from the 15:55 mark on. So they were able to pull themselves together, protect the one-goal lead, get the empty netter, get the game into the garage, as the Bulldog would say, and move on to the next one.
We talked about the home success. Buffalo's now 13-5-2. A very, very impressive home record, one of the best in the conference itself. In fact, if you just look at losses, they're tied for the fewest number of losses at home with 5. So, Paul, they've, beyond our little talk about how the crowd maybe helped down the stretch here, this is not just even a one-game thing. They've been very good this year at home.
And this win was their 5th in a row at home, and they've now won 7 out of 8 at home. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, now this will blow up his numbers a little bit, but he still got the win. I think he came in 5-1 at home, now 6-1. His numbers, his goals against was under 2. His save percentage was out of sight. And for a while, looked like he was going to get a shutout and make those numbers even better. But it didn't work out that way. But you know what? He has always been the type of person, get the win. It's all he's concerned about. If it's 7-6, it's 7-6. Get the win. He let in 3 goals. He'll look at them, figure out why. Were they his fault? Were they not? How they went in. He'll also, I think, look at what did he do well, and there was a lot in this game he did well. I mean, I look at the 3 goals. I'm not sitting here thinking that how many of them should he have stopped. I don't think they were bad goals that he let in. Maybe his angle was off a little bit on the third. I don't know. I'd have to look at it again. But overall, I would still say it's a very good game by him.
Paul Hamilton with us here down in the media room as the Sabres beat the Canucks by a score of 5-3. Paul, just a real quick thought on Zach Metsa. First NHL goal, a nice moment, and just his play. He keeps saying, hey, the more I'm playing, the more confident I'm getting out there.
Well, as you know, he's an old rookie, but he was the captain of the Amerks when he came up. And I think that's one of the reasons, when he did come up, that they've called him up, because he is a veteran down there and he's been doubted at every single level. He was doubted before college. Not many college wanted him. He shows up at Quinnipiac. He's not in the lineup. And next thing you know, he's the captain and they win the national championship. And okay, there's no place, he hasn't been drafted. So the Amerks signed him to an AHL contract. They were short some defensemen. Seth Appert had to put him into the lineup in the playoffs almost right away. He played so well, Seth Appert could not take him out of the lineup. There was just no way you could take somebody who was playing that well out of the lineup. So then he stayed in. A couple years later, here we are, and he's the captain of the team. So Buffalo needs a player,
And he finally, with the play in Rochester, earned an NHL contract this year, gets the NHL contract for the minimum, and they need somebody. They call him up. Again, he's fine. He never looked out of place here, and I think he's a better defenseman now than when he came up. He's just always been doubted throughout his career, and he's always come through throughout his career.
Paul, I want to read one tweet with you, and then I'll let you go here. We'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Scott says, do we finally get to see Ellis back in on Thursday? So I'll let you answer that.
Don't know. In this little stretch, he's going to play. I mean, Lyon's not ready to play yet. He's day-to-day. He's going to get a game here. Whether it's Thursday, I can't say. Maybe. You know, Lukanen was busy, made some great saves, three wound up in the net. Maybe they want to give him a night off before the next game, especially since. But, you know, he won three in a row and won a couple of road games. He hadn't won a road game all year. They throw him into New Jersey, and he plays really well and wins the game. So right now, whether it's home or on the road, I don't think it much matters. I don't know if they'll look at that. So I don't know. I really don't have a guess for you. Whether it's coming, probably – I would think maybe in the next two. Lindy Ruff has said sometimes he just asks his goalie, how do you feel?
Yeah.
You know, he did face a lot of shots. He did face 35 shots, and there were a lot of them where he had to fight through to make the save. So, yeah, it might make sense to let Ellis play against the New York Rangers. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, short travel, obviously, to New York tomorrow, and then short travel back to Buffalo before they play Anaheim here on Saturday. Paul, thank you so much for your work tonight. Appreciate it. We will talk to you Thursday.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, Paul Hamilton with us here on the post game as we bring it back up here to the press box. Brian Colesdale now rejoined by Pat Mullicaro. I'll let you answer that, Pat. What do you think? Is Ellis due up finally to get back in the nets here? He hasn't played in a while.
See, if I were Lindy Ruff, I ask Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen how you feel. And maybe he doesn't really do anything if there's a practice, whatever, tomorrow. He doesn't really do much, and you gauge how he's feeling. You know, not off the top of my head, remembering how many games he's played now in this last stretch. I'm riding Luukkonen for a little bit here, especially with a day off. I know you have a lot of games coming up in this stretch, so Paul's right. I mean, you've got a home and home or a back-to-back situation here at home next week.
Yeah.
So you get
by then, you might have Lyon back accessible for you,
right? So
who
knows, right? What do you do in that stretch? You may have you may see all three goalies in that four game window next week, or the five game stretch starting on Saturday. So I need to stack points, continue to rack up points, and if Luukkonen continues to play the way he is, I'm riding him for as long as that goes, not the back to backs withstanding, and just kind of see how things play out.
Yeah. All right. We'll read a few more tweets here with you, Pat. Mark says, I was getting worried. Play the system for 60 minutes. Yeah, there was some moments there in the third where they definitely got a little scrambly on their own end.
Yeah, they didn't. Like we've talked about, like, you never felt, though, that they were chasing as much as they've chased in the past. That's the one thing. Vancouver had to really work to get those chances. So I think in the end, this is the type of game. Look, you get the fourth goal, you find a way to win it, and Doan gets the empty netter. And, you know, Dahlin had a big part of that in that empty net goal as well. I know he doesn't get an assist, but he kind of creates the play and allows Doan to get to that puck, taking the man for the Canucks on the half wall. Doan just fires it down the ice, and you're not even thinking about it anymore.
Richard said, the Sabres almost sabered. I'm glad they pulled out that win. Yeah, that would have been devastating if you blow a four-goal lead in the third.
And I like where it was talked about in the locker room with Lindy Ruff. You and Paul talked about it as well. I'm not going to be hyperbolic and say this is the loudest crowd I've ever heard in the history of my time coming to games. I'm not going to say that. But this crowd was into it. This crowd is – you tell me if I'm wrong. It's a different feeling in here right now. And it's been a different feeling in here for quite a few games now. It's not just now that the 10-game win streak, they got to the 10-game win streak, but you kind of felt that things were starting to turn right before Christmas and a couple of games in December where fans were excited about the direction the team is now heading in. They have a lot of the right pieces, and it's starting to come together. And you hear it from the players even, you know, how tight of a group it is and how much fun they're having in, on and off the ice. And I do think now you're starting to feel it, even though it's not a sellout crowd tonight and it's a Tuesday night, the crowd is into it from start to finish. And I think you're going to feel that a lot more often now where the crowd is just on the edge of their seat and excited about what's going on, and you'll hear it a lot.
Yeah, and I think, too, when the crowd is more on board with maybe how the organization is playing, performing, all these, the messaging, everything, like, let's face it, they're going to be more apt to, like, you would support anything if you're in support of how you feel about them, right? If you feel terrible about a certain thing, you don't give them their support or their business or whatever. And right now, people are feeling good about these players and this organization where it's at, and they've proved it to them lately. So the ability to want to support them back, like, it's easier. Right? I mean, I guess it's not too hard of a formula here for us to figure out.
Right. It's a right. concept. And yeah. Look, there's going to be 5 more home games coming up in the next just over a week, 10 days. So yeah. You're going to maybe hear a lot more of that and the excitement level. And just, you know, anecdotally, talking to fans, talking to family and friends that have, you know, been Sabre fans their entire lives, they're watching the games more intently than they may have been a month or two ago.
Yep.
They're thinking about coming to a game now where they maybe were sitting things out and watching from home and say, all right, once a team turns a corner, I'm going to go to a game. Well, now they're talking about which game they're going to go to, and now you're getting to the point where you might get shut out or you might be on the secondary market saying, man, I should have bought those tickets a month or two ago when I was thinking about it, because now things are – people want to be here, and you're going to see more bigger crowds every night.
I agree. Thanks for the tweets. We read them every game at Brian WGR. 5-3, Sabres beat the Canucks. We want to update those standings. Where are the Sabres now? But to find out how the standings went, we got to see what happened tonight in the league. Let's get our final drive around the league with Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by AAA, official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. We'll get to some of those games that have gone final in a moment, but the games that are ongoing include the Jets and the Golden Knights, as Vegas has tied it up with a goal in the third period. 2-2 the score out in Winnipeg midway through the third period. There is an update. We mentioned earlier on a scary moment where Hayden Fleury was stretchered off the ice in Winnipeg. The Jets PR tweeting out just about an hour ago that he was transported to a local hospital in Winnipeg, fully alert and moving all of his extremities. That's the latest update the team provided following that in that game that is 2-2 in the third period. Also, the Oilers on Connor McDavid's 26th of the season have a 1-0 lead over Nashville. 9 minutes to go in the second period there. In the first, they've gotten underway. The Sharks and the Blue Jackets are scoreless 7 minutes in, while the Kraken and Bruins are meeting tonight out in Seattle. That's a game Sabre fans will keep an eye on, as the Sabres are 2 points better than the Bruins in the standings right now. 11 minutes to go opening period. There is no score there. The Lightning hand the Avalanche just their 4th regulation loss of the season. Tampa Bay doubling up Colorado 4-2 tonight. One game that we'll talk about it impacting the standings in a moment. Trevor Zegras scores 2 goals against his former team. Flyers upend the Ducks 5-2. Anaheim has not won in the last 7, and they'll be here on Saturday night. Something to keep an eye on. The Hurricanes double up the Stars tonight 6-3. That game has gone final. Also, a 9 spot put up by the Islanders tonight as the Devils are reeling 9-0 the final. Anthony Duclair had a hat trick in that contest. And also the Maple Leafs defeat the Panthers, a game in which Sabre fans are keeping an eye on. The Leafs defeat Florida 4-1, Brian.
All right, Pat, thank you. 5-3 in our game. Sabres victorious. Yeah, again, Colorado, who only had lost 2 regulation games, they get to play some East teams that could help out the Sabres, Florida and Tampa, and they lose them both.
And for folks wondering, the record is 8 regulation losses, 76-77 Montreal Canadiens.
So they're right on pace, right? Halfway mark, essentially.
Exactly.
Four.
They would tie the fewest regulation losses in the history of the league. The most recent team to get close to that was Boston with 12. Colorado, previously, the year they won the Stanley Cup, I believe, they had 13 regulation losses. So they've been close with basically the same core of players minus a few here and there in recent history.
All right, so the standings. Buffalo at the exact halfway moment here. 41 games in, 41 to go, 22-15-4, 48 points. So as Lindy Ruff said, you double that total, 96. Most years, if not, you know, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 years, it gets you in. So how do we feel about a projection of 96 points?
I would feel good about that.
Would you take it right now?
Yes.
Okay. You're not taking any less or any more. 96. I would think I'd take it too, right? Take my chances.
I'm going to take my chances with that, because look at the schedule too. You've played, most teams have played the other conference already, but look at the games coming up on the schedule. If you, just this month alone, if you get the double your point total to the end of the year, you're talking about three games against Montreal still, a team that sits in the top three in the Atlantic Division. So they're a team you're trying to track down, because the three spot is easily within reach if you're talking about 96 points and getting back in that group of teams. Philadelphia is a team that you're going to be fighting against. You got to pick up points in this next stretch. Even Florida, that's a team now. I think they're going to get better. Matthew Tkachuk is getting closer. Even Sasha Barkov is skating now after his knee injury in training camp. So they're a team that's going to be poised for that push out of the Olympic break. Can you keep them in a rearview mirror with that game, and then you've got one game down in Florida before the All-Star break or the Olympic break in February and out of it. So those are six big points right there. You're getting points in those games if you're telling me the Sabres end up with 96.
Yeah, and if you end up with 96, I think your point is great. It's a heavier East versus East at the second half of the schedule. So if you're getting the same number of wins that you did, you're also then not allowing some of these other teams to get points because they're head-to-head. They're more meaningful games. Yes, hey, you go out and beat Vancouver, that's great. But when you go out and beat Montreal, it's almost like a double win.
Yes.
Because you're not only giving yourself two, but you're taking a possible two away from a team in the race with you.
Yeah, keep it in regulation. Yeah. Keep it from being a three-point game. You're going to play the Maple Leafs one or two more times. There's teams that I think are going to make pushes. And are you able to keep enough distance between yourself and them? And I think you will be able to do that if you end up with that 96-point total.
Yeah. I mean, Detroit, if you look at goal differential, they're a -5, even though they're 1 point out of first. Like, maybe the numbers at some point will come back for them. That's maybe a team that right now that has been in a playoff spot for a while that maybe you could see, hey, could Buffalo take a spot from somebody? Maybe right there. The Metro is very strong. Right now they're taking up both wildcard spots if you go by just points alone with Washington and Pittsburgh. The East has been so much better than the West this year. In terms of just like if you look at the point totals, yes, Colorado's been insane, but the bottom teams in the East versus the bottom teams in the West, I mean, there's like a 10-point gap. All the bottom teams in the East are way higher. Look at this even right now. If you take Buffalo all the way up through the wild cards and through the top three in the Metro and the East in the Atlantic here, they all have won. Tampa on an 8-game winning streak. Detroit and Montreal won. Carolina, New York, Philadelphia 2-2-2. The Capitals won. The Penguins 5. Buffalo won. Florida won. Boston wins of 2 in a row. You got to go down to New Jersey all the way before you find a team that actually has come off of a loss.
And you tell me if I'm wrong, but it's astonishing that like the 7 worst records in the league are points wise all come from the West, right? Like the disparity between the top and the bottom of the conferences has gotten to a point where it's just it's almost hard to believe.
All right. The bottom 7 are all from the West. Columbus is 8th, and then 9, 10, and 11 are also from the West.
So 10 out of the worst 11
10 of the
teams.
Worst 11 are in the West.
So now that goes to my point of you
does that make you feel better or worse?
That if I get to 96 points, I'm feeling great about my chances. Because
that means you've beaten these East teams.
Right.
Yeah, along the way.
Because you're going to play them. Just the math of it says you're going to play over 41 games. The East way more than the West because you've already played a couple of the West teams twice. And you're just going to play by sheer volume the East so much more. Keep it a 2-point game and you're going to be in.
Yeah. Now, if you want to go, I know Paul loves us to go by points percentage, then the Sabres would be in. Right now, even though Washington has 2 more points, the Sabres have a 585 points percentage, Washington 581, because they've played 2 more games. So if you go by that, the Sabres would be wild card 2 as of tonight.
And it's a market turnaround from where we're sitting here at Thanksgiving, which is always kind of one of those mile markers of the season. Things were not trending in the right direction, but that 10-game winning streak, we've talked about it for how many years? If only you can go on a 7, 8, 9, 10-game winning streak, you'll put yourself in the mix. This time, since the 18-19 year, the Sabres actually, or 17-18 year, the Sabres did it.
Yep. The Rangers are next at MSG, where they've been horrid this year.
Abysmal.
Pat. Yeah.
I mean,
5-10-4.
They could not score at home you know, use the whatever cliche you want,
yeah,
over the first month of the year, they just could not score. So that's a team, high expectations. They are missing the mark. And, you know, Mike Sullivan, the new head coach, Chris Drury, the GM there, bringing him in. And it's just a team that is continuing to underperform.
Then Anaheim here Saturday. The Ducks were a really nice story for the first half of the year, but they've fallen back a little. They've only won one of their last 10.
Yeah, they've now lost eight in a row between regulation and overtime, I believe. Joel Quenneville, the head coach, they make the trade on the offseason, sending Trevor Zegras to Philadelphia. So they're a team trying to remake themselves right now, and we'll see what type of team shows up here on Saturday. I know there's games between now and then, but see this Anaheim team with Radko Gudas, the captain, right?
Yep.
What kind of energy they bring to the building.
And then next week, those monster games that you mentioned, East versus East with teams in your race, you have Florida, Philadelphia, and Montreal, 3 and 4 nights. All at home, though.
Yeah, so let's take just the next five games. If you're getting 6 to 8 points in those next five games, that's a big step in the right direction towards putting yourself on the right foot in this final half of the season.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Sabres win it 5-3 over Vancouver. Back in the win column after that 10-game win streak was ended in Columbus with that loss on Saturday. Buffalo will be looking to make it 2 in a row on our next broadcast, which will be Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have the pregame on our flagship station on WGR starting at 6 p.m. All right, with that, we're going to wrap things up here on the postgame, and we want to thank our crew. Dan Dale, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, Dan. Our on-site engineer here at KeyBank Center was Tom Maddy. The crew, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton. Thank you, guys. Mike Shope and the Bulldog were on the pregame, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final here from downtown Buffalo. It was the Sabres 5 and the Canucks 3. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk Thursday with the Sabres at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.